arms wrapped around us. And your love floods our hearts. Lord, we pray for every individual here today, Lord, as they've come in with different needs, different expectations. Lord, I thank you. You are the one that meets every one of our needs. Yes. We lift up our young people right now away at camp and those that are working with them. And Lord, I just thank you that this morning and throughout this whole weekend, they've had a touch from you that will radically change their life. And Lord, that they will grow stronger in you. So Lord, I just thank you for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Praise the Lord. If you haven't yet signed up for the marriage encounter, I'd advise you to do it. I'll tell you, I was married for 42 years the first time, and I ran that encounter for twice, I think, and on DVD. And I listened to it personally 5 or 6 times. Then I had to find somebody to practice on because I didn't have anybody to put it into practice. You know, the Bible says we have to do the word. So I found poor Nick, and I've been doing what he told me to do. And you know what? He's pretty happy, I think. So it works. Ladies, get your husbands out there. Ladies, get out there and be part of that. You will enjoy it. This morning, I'm speaking about the blood of Jesus. You know, we a lot of times, I know all of you expect me to preach on healing. I mean, that's just a natural thing for me to do. And it will get in there. But we cannot just teach principles. The bottom line of all of that is the blood that Jesus shed for each and every one of us. And you know, that blood is not something that's in the past. It's right now. So we need to daily renew our mind to the Word of God. You know, it's very easy to get sloppy in that area and not do it. But unless we get into this word, you can't feed on yesterday's meal. And you know, after a while, if we don't eat, we're not hungry anymore. So you need to get into this word and get stirred up by the word of God. And I know the last few weeks I've really been studying on the blood of Jesus. It says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing apart of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know, the word of God is alive. All of the word of God is for us. And when it says in scripture, like, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, God really wants us to do that. Now, whether it's by sending our money or doing it in our area of influence or going into the mission field, whatever it is, we are all taught by the word of God to go out and preach the good news. And you know, you don't have to get all uptight and think, well, I need to know this and I need to know that. No, all you need to know is that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that he has transformed your life, and that life you can talk about. That's something you know about. Now, you know, we get into sometimes hearing things that aren't being said. You know, and we need to be careful that everything we hear lines up with the word of God. Now, it's the Logos is all of the word of God. Now, there are times that God speaks a specific word of God to us. Could some of these lights go off a little bit because I can't see anybody? Okay. There's several times in my life, not every day, several times in my life that I knew I had a word from God. You know, God doesn't speak to me about everything. There's some times that I believe the Lord is directing me a certain way. But I never take that by my feelings or by what I think. I go back and I try it out and I test it, whether it's really God or not. Because we can be misled by our feelings. It can lead us astray. So we need to make sure that we have a rhema God, a word from God. Now, the only way we get a rhema word of God is by getting into the word of God. We won't get rhemas if we're not into the word of God. God can do it, but mostly it's through his word that we hear. That's better. Principles and formulas are good if they're based on the word of God and the blood of Jesus. Because without Jesus' blood being shed for each one of us, you know, all these principles and all these formulas wouldn't work for us. It's because Jesus paid the price for our deliverance by his own blood, we can walk in constant forgiveness, constant overcoming. You can receive healing through the blood of Jesus, and we can have constant protection. Now, really, isn't that wonderful? Now, that's what the Word of God promises us. I want you to turn to Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. It says, we come, talks about when we get saved. We come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. We come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We come to countless multitudes of angels, and we join the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect. Look what happens. You know, when you said yes to Jesus, what happened? You didn't just join a church. You came to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. The living God is there. We come to the heavenly Jerusalem and to countless multitudes of angels. Can you see them? It says that when we get saved, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Well, those countless angels are at your disposal. Now, we don't go center on the angels, but if we speak forth the word of God, it takes all our unemployed angels and puts them to work. We join the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. The church of the firstborn registered in heaven. That doesn't have a label. You know, wherever the body of Christ is, God's church is there. You know, we are not the only church, but we have been born to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're registered in heaven? And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just man made perfect. Well, I'm not perfect yet. No, you're not, but you are in your spirit because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he has washed you clean. And Jesus looks at you, or God looks at you, and who does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees the perfect Lamb of God, because that's who you are. Then it goes on to say, and Jesus, that's who we come to as well, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. The blood speaks. What is it saying? Better things than the blood of Abel. What does the blood of Abel say? But the blood of Abel has been crying out, vengeance, 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 restitution. Jesus' blood cries out, mercy, mercy, mercy. It is in the present, it speaks right now, and it will continue to speak until Jesus returns. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Are you feeling under condemnation this morning? The blood of Jesus is crying out for you, mercy, mercy, mercy. Isn't that great? It says in Psalm 23, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Now, if it follows me, then wherever I go, if I walk this way, mercy's following me. If I walk that way, mercy's following me. Even when I step out on the wrong path, mercy is still following me, and it's drawing, trying to draw me back to the place where God wants me. It's mercy. It's God's goodness and God's mercy. Don't try to fit God into your theology. You fit your life into God's theology. God is a God of mercy. He's a God of goodness. The blood is not just a historical fact that happened 2,000 years ago during the trial and the passion and the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, and then it ended there. He said to Mary, don't touch me because I have not yet ascended to heaven and brought my blood there. Jesus gathered his blood after his resurrection, and he took that blood and presented it on the real mercy seat, not the replica of the mercy seat, but the heavenly mercy seat, and it's there for all eternity, and that blood is speaking mercy, mercy, mercy to each and every one of us. I have blood speaking on my behalf. You have the blood speaking on your behalf. A few things the blood are saying. The blood of Abel speaks of death, murder, and revenge. The blood of Jesus has a voice and speaks of righteousness and redemption and healing. Just want to add a little thing to that. Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. He wants us to remember his benefits. They're there for us. His benefits. Benefits. Mercy. What is the first? There's seven things that the blood of Jesus speaks for you. The first thing the blood speaks is redemption. In Hebrews 9:12-15, it says, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once and for all into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, in the verses before that, it talks about Jesus being the perfect high priest. Before that, we had an earthly, a replica of what was going to happen. But Jesus was the perfect high priest. Jesus had the absolute pure blood that he presented on the mercy seat. And he obtained eternal redemption for us. Before that, the sacrifices had to be made year after year. They did not take away the sin. They covered the sin. But when Jesus came, he took away our sin. And that is the neat part of it all. You know, have you ever seen a person who is getting saved, trying to confess all of his sins? You can't. How can you remember? I forget the sins I did yesterday. You know? But if we accept Jesus Christ, immediately we're translated. You know? Sometimes we want to be translated out of our problems. You know? We don't get translated. We walk out of our problems, but Jesus walks beside us. But we get translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So we're getting translated into a perfect person. Our spirit man is as righteous as it'll ever be. Now, we still have a soul and we have a body. And so that's why it says we need to renew our mind to the Word of God. Why? So that that mind will agree with our spirit man who is made righteous. And it says if two walk together and agree. You see? But it's our mind and our intellect want, let God say a lot of things he never said. Now, the reason it was God's love that provided a covering for sin, because the Bible says that the soul that sins will die. So we could come in the presence of God and not drop dead as soon as we sinned. You know, so there was a covering, there was a, but it was a symbol. And it was a shadow of what Jesus would do as the spotless Lamb of God. And when he died and spent his sinless blood, all the sacrifices ceased. But Jesus obtained eternal redemption. To redeem means to buy back. Now, when the slaves were free, they were freed permanently. Okay? They were, if they were bought, or when the war happened and they were set free that way, whatever way it happened, they were totally free from then on. Now, mind you, their mind was not free. It took generations to get that slave mentality out of them. And that's what happens with us sometimes. We get saved, but how much time we spend and do the Word of God depends on how much of that slave mentality stays with us. But God has redeemed us with his own blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is God in the flesh. Acts 20, verse 28, it says, shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The Amplified Bible says, buying it and saving it for himself. He saved you for himself. You're his pleasure. Can you imagine that? I love to be people's pleasure. But you know, God says we are his pleasure. He saved us for himself with his own blood. You know, we a lot of times talk that salvation is free. It is for us. But it wasn't for God, because he paid an incredible price. Now, in Genesis 3, the isms were born. We have Buddhism, we have Islamism, we have Mormonism, we have Protestantism, and we have Catholicism. We have all these isms. But there was an ism born, and I probably pronounced some of them wrong because I see my family laughing in the back. That's okay. I don't care. They're isms. And that's my point. You'll understand that. The first ism that was ever mentioned in the Bible was figism. Because when men fell into sin, what did they try to do? They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. So they developed a religion called figism. And God said, that won't do. We can't cover our own sin. And you see, religion, which is what I was in for about 30 years of my life, hallelujah, now it's, I've come out of balance. I've been a Christian longer than I've been a religious person, because I was a religious person, very religious, but I always had to please God, and I just never felt I could please him. But you see, Christianity is God reaching down to me. And if I'd been the only one, if you had been the only one, he still would have sent his son to shed his blood for you. So we have been covered with the blood. Not covered. Our sin has been taken away by the blood of Jesus. A lot of times in New Testament songs, we still talk about the blood covering our sin. It doesn't cover the sin. It washes it away. And that's the difference. Blood in our bodies take away garbage and bring in the good stuff. When we speak of redemption and the blood paying for that, it has two aspects. It takes us out the darkness, the power of darkness, and it brings us into the kingdom of his Son. Colossians 1:12-14 says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the blood of Jesus takes away all the garbage out of our life, and the blood of Jesus translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness because we have right standing with God. Peace because his blood has given us the peace that we need, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we need to notify our faces that we have the joy of the Lord inside of us. He wants us into his kingdom, which is the Zoe life of God. The Zoe life of God is absolutely everything we will ever need. It's protection, it's healing, it's deliverance, it's provision, it's all of those things is in the kingdom of God. I have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? The price has been paid. I have been set free, and I have the life of God in me. Have you got the life of God? Say that. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. The price has been paid. I have been set free, and I have the life of God in me. Today will be a good day. You know, if we got up with that every morning and said that, today will be a good day because I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I've got the life of God in me. It is going to be an excellent day. Yeah. If we got up with that kind of attitude, we'd have a different day. The second thing that the blood speaks is sanctification. And Hebrews 13, verse 12 says, therefore Jesus also, so that he might sanctify the people through his blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus suffered outside the gate. Why? So that he might sanctify us through his own blood. What does sanctify mean? To set apart. We are set apart for God's work. We're not taken out of the world. We're in the world, but we're set apart. Sanctification talks about holiness. And have you ever heard, this is a very sanctimonious person, you know, they walk around like they are sucking on lemons, and they look very holy. And, you know, their clothes look holy. You know, religion will have us jump through hoops to look and act holy. But what we do is not, it's not something we put on. It's something that comes from the inside of us. We're sanctified. God has made us holy. Now let's act holy. And it's not by the these and thous. It's not by the length of our hair. It's not whether we wear earrings or makeup. I know one time we got stranded in Fredericton, and we're blessed. Somebody picked us up and took us to a Pentecostal church. It was a holiness church. And I didn't know, and you know, I am Jezebel. I wear so much makeup, and I have these gaudy earrings all the time. And when I walked there, in that church, I knew right away I was Jezebel. Because I did not look like their woman over there. You know, it's amazing how the woman have to look so holy and drab. But the men can dress up really nice. But the woman, they don't want dressed up. And I know my husband and me, we sat in the back seat because I didn't want to offend anybody with all of my makeup and all of my gaudy jewelry. So I sat in the back, but there was a couple of ladies with long hair. They almost sat on it and dark dresses on, but they talked through the whole service. So I turned to Ralph and I said, holy, we don't, when I see somebody acting like that and it comes across as very superficial, you know what I want to say? Who do you think you're kidding? Because God looks at our heart, and God has made us holy. So there's nothing we can do ourselves to make us holy. We can't jump through all kinds of hoops. And religion loves it to make us want to do it in our own strength and our own ability. I mean, we feel so good if we can act holy. Holiness comes from the inside. It comes from an intimate relationship with God, and the light of God starts flowing out of us, and that will demonstrate to the world the holiness that's inside of us. Not by being judgmental. Standing in judgment, I'm okay, but I wonder about you. Have you ever been around people like that? I get around them every once in a while. They're sure about their salvation, but they kind of wonder about yours. Because after all, you smile a little bit too much. There's just no way you can be a good Christian and smile that much. Because after all, we have to be mournful about our sin. Why? Because Jesus has paid the ultimate price for our right standing with him. If we start acting mournful about our sin, what has the blood of Jesus done for you? You need to start recognizing the great price that Jesus paid. Being super spiritual and hanging around being whoa, whoa, whoa about your sin isn't going to make you look like Jesus did anything for you. Jesus loves you. His blood cries out, mercy, mercy, mercy. But it also cries out, sanctification. The blood of Jesus did it all. The blood speaks of redemption. The blood speaks of sanctification. And the blood sets us apart. It sets us apart unto God. We can be in the middle of a place that is bad. And if we let our light shine, that light will overpower that darkness. If it comes from an intimate relationship with God. Because if you light a match in a dark, dark room, it will immediately send some light. If you take a little bit of darkness into the room, which they did a few minutes ago, we basically don't notice it. So it's the light of God in us. The third thing that the blood of Jesus has done is it's given us access to God. It says in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us boldness. We can come into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, they were even afraid to speak the name of God because it was so holy. Today, we have the right and the boldness to enter the presence of God. We don't have to have this special little prayer voice that we use to pray to God, to act like we're holier. We can come and talk to him like you do to one another, and he hears and he answers your prayers. There's a lot of things that times have happened in my life that I don't quite understand. But it's one thing I do understand. And that is that I can have boldness to enter the presence of God. That I am totally sure of. The veil has been torn apart when Jesus cried out, it is finished. When his blood was shed, it gave me the right as his child. Now, if you had a kid and he would come to you, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, can I come and talk to you this morning? Please, Daddy, can I talk to you? I don't want to bother you. I just want to be very careful, but can I please have 1 second with, oh, just 1 second, please?" What would you do? You'd feel terrible, wouldn't you, that your kid would feel that way? Well, we can have the boldness to enter the presence of God. He loves it when his children come and they talk to him and they sit on his lap and tell him what they need and what they, and say good things to their daddy. You don't want to just come with your needs. You want to praise him. You want to honor him. You want to love him. It's not anything that we deserve. Not my good works have not accomplished it. Anything I have done has not done it, but it's the blood of Jesus that has given me that right. It means that I have access. That means I have freedom. We need the blood of Jesus back into our thinking, back into our confessing. We need to thank him for that blood, and we need to sing about the blood. Religion will put things in the past. You know, we love to sing, or we used to, "Give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion." And then we sing, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away." Once in the past, once in the future. God is a God of the now. Yeah. Right now, he's interested in you, in what you're doing. God is a now God. His blood speaks now. We don't have to live in the future. When we first got saved, we did 2 years of Sunday school lessons on end times. And it got to the point, and I love the teaching of end times. Don't misunderstand me. But I thought, man, we don't know how to live now. We need to learn to live now. Right. And then, you know, we can, don't always live in the future. Live today. There's people that wish their life away. They're never happy right now, right this moment. You know, you ask some people, they have going for a holiday or doing something special. You say, "Did you have a good time?" "Well, you know, it was good, but," you know, you're wishing your life away. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the now in God's kingdom. Enjoy the now. Don't always live in the future. Don't always live in the past. "Well, it used to be good. We used to have a move of God." No, we have a move of God now, right here. Because God's blood is crying out to us. He wants to have us have access. The price has been paid. The blood of Jesus makes God real to us. And number four is the blood justifies. Romans 5 verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. The word justifies means to be made right. God made us right with him. Justified means it's just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that something? You know, the worst of sinners, when they come to Jesus with a repentant heart, it's just as if they'd never sinned. What a wonderful way to be. Don't walk with a lot of condemnation. You know, there's Christians today that are walking under condemnation. You got no right to do that. You've been justified. You've been set free. The blood cries justification. Number five is the blood speaks peace. Now, I could park here for a while. I won't, but that's where God delivered me from fear. So when you've been a fearful person and you've experienced peace, I'll tell you, talk about the difference of light and darkness. It is, you know. Colossians 1, verse 20 says, and through him, having made peace through the blood of his cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. He has taken away our fear and anxiety through the blood. Why? Because every area of our life has been covered with the blood of Jesus. You know, it's important that we keep our confession right. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who is promised. Do you know, are there people in your life that you, when they tell you something, you don't believe a word they say? You let it go in one ear and out the other. That was a nice thought. Why? Because their word is not worth anything. You know, they may tell you one thing. I had a person used to come and visit me, or said she'd come and visit me, and I'd wait and wait and wait and wait, and they'd never show up. And so I got so, their word did not mean anything to me. They said they were coming. I said, well, I'll see you when you get here, you know. But God's word is good. What he says, he will do. So it says we can hold fast the profession of our faith. Why? For he is faithful who has promised. So we need to keep our speaking right. You know, we tend to want to speak what we see with these natural eyes. Wrong thing to do. You need to speak what you can see. There's people, I will never ask them how they are. I'll tell them how they look. Because if you ask them how they are, you get an organ recital. Oh, that's not an organ, that's a violin. Well, it's just as bad. And it's a scratchy one at that. You know, and then they say they're standing in faith. No, you're not. If you're speaking everything that you're feeling, you are not speaking what the Word of God says. So you need to speak what the Word of God says. There are two kinds of sins that we commit. And yes, we do. We're not sinners. God's taken the sin nature out of us. But has any of you ever missed God since you're saved? That you made a mistake? I got both my hands up. You know, I always say, I wish the Lord had given me, made me a woman of very few words. I wouldn't have to eat so many of them. But there are scriptures in the Bible that will help us after we're saved. Now, these are scriptures to apply when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to apply this to all your sin that you did before you're saved. This is after you're saved. It says in 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, constantly cleanses us. Now, scripture in Ephesians, in the Amplified Bible says, walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us. Can you imagine that? Do you esteem and delight in another person? You know, we'd rather criticize them and find fault. But it says we are to esteem and delight ourselves in other people. That is having fellowship. It says if we walk in the light, if we walk with an intimate relationship with the Lord, that's how we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship once Blew, my tongue, I washed it this morning. Won't do a thing right. We have fellowship with one another. With one another. That fellowship is delighting and esteeming one another. Can you imagine what a church would be like if we delighted and esteemed one another consistently? You know what a drawing card that would be for the world when they walk in here or when they meet us and we're delighting and esteeming one another. Then we have fellowship. And then it says that when we do that, and you know, I always look at it, it's the symbol of the cross. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, isn't that wonderful? That's for the sins that we don't realize that we're doing. Okay? There's a covering for that. Or there's a getting rid of that. Is by acknowledging God in our life and having fellowship with one another. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, oh, hold on, it's not my fault, it's her fault. She did. If she wouldn't have said that to me, I would not have acted that way. It's not my fault. There's nothing I could do about it. No. It says, if you will confess your sin. Oh, I don't like it. You know how hard it is to confess a sin? It's easy to say, Lord, forgive our sins. Nothing to it. It's, they call that generic. Generic praying. Forgive our sins, Lord. Ah, I'm free. No, but to call it by name. It's hard. I know. I've done it. I've sat up in bed till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to do spiritual gymnastics to talk myself that I had not sinned. It was all the other people's fault. And God started pointing me to this scripture very quietly. Because he doesn't force himself on us. And it took me till 3 o'clock in the morning of sitting on my bed, not being able to sleep, sitting under condemnation, until I acknowledged my sin and asked him to forgive me. And I was instantly freed of that sin. What a burden it took off of me. Well, you know, do it. Get rid of the sin that you do, that you know that you do, and walk free from that. You know, acknowledge you've missed him. You know, we all miss his direction sometimes. Acknowledge it and say, Lord, forgive me. I did not listen. Lord, I wasn't nice to that person. I was sarcastic. Lord, I judged that person wrong. Forgive me. I had no right to judge them. Forgive me. See, the things that we do, we know we do them. We need to confess them. And then it says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After sitting there till 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to do spiritual gymnastics, doesn't do anything for your waistline either when you do them. I fell asleep like a baby. And the rest of the night, I had enough sleep. I slept so soundly that it did me like I had had a full night's sleep. Why is that? Because I had a clear conscience. I confessed it and got rid of it. The sixth thing is we are overcomers. And Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. You know, you speak what God has done to you. And it will cause you to be an overcomer. In Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, and I heard a great voice saying in heaven, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers is cast down, who accused them before God day and night. He's the accuser. And he wants to use your mouth to accuse other people. So don't give them your mouth to accuse. Bless with your mouth. And let, God says, we are not to judge. We have no business judging one another. But we are, I don't want to play the devil's games. Do you? I don't want to play them. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, I copied that out of my Sparkling Gems. It's a devotional that I used, which is very good. If you ever get it, you'd like it. But it's kind of his paraphrase from the original of Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. You must be constantly alert and on guard. The devil, like an accusing lawyer, will try to charge you with all kinds of arguments and accusations. You need to know that he is like a lion on the prowl, constantly walking around, roaring with a deafening sound, earnestly seeking the kind of person he can completely consume and slurp up. I like that one. But I got to thinking about an accusing lawyer. You know, have you ever been in a court of law? I have. And, you know, I always thought that when you went to the courts that you were innocent until proven guilty. Well, I found that's not really the case. They have a charge against you, and they will ask you questions that you can only answer a certain way. And if you don't answer it exactly, if you add any more to it, they dismiss that from your statement. So it's you know, they play games with words. So you, yeah, you're saying, but you're accusing actually yourself by saying what you're saying. Do I make myself clear? They twist, and that's what the devil does. He twists and he accuses you. You know, you're a dirty old sinner. I often use the example, you know, when we get ready for church on Sunday, devil comes along. He says, we don't realize this. Devil, he's a real nice voice. He says, you know, you should stay home today. You deserve it. You've worked hard all week. You know, you really have a right to sleep in. This is the only day you can sleep in. Sleep in this morning. And then, you know, you finally listen to him. You say, you know what? That's right. And sometimes he is right with that. But you see, it's not good for you. Because the minute you stay home and church starts at 10 o'clock, the little voice will come and accuse you. He'll say, Christian, are you? Why aren't you in church this morning if the Lord means so much to you? You see, he always twists your words. So don't get caught up in his accusing words. We have blood speaking in heaven for us. How do we plead? Because of the blood of Jesus, not guilty. When the accuser comes, we can really not be guilty. Now, number seven is by the blood we are healed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that dying to sins we might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And I know I've stood by the deathbed of a lot of people over the years, and I have no idea why some of them weren't healed. But I know one thing, Jesus is my healer. And as long as there is breath left in a body, I don't care what the doctors say. I will believe the Lord for healing. Because that's what God's word promises us. I'm a human being and I fail in many ways. I believe in healing strongly that hasn't come overnight or by hearing a good sermon once or twice. I've received that by getting into the Word of God and walking it out in my life. You know, but there are times when I'm facing something that everything inside of me, I have to control my thought life and speak the healing scriptures over myself. So, you know, you can't judge what goes on in someone's mouth, With my mouth, I will always speak healing. But in my thought life, sometimes I do have a battle. All right? But that's where the Word of God comes in. But I know that I know that I know God wants us healed. I know that He has a plan for our life with a good destiny. I know that He only wants good things in our life. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be our deliverer. Do I live in everything He has promised? No, I don't yet, but I am striving to get there. And I will not give into that. You know, I've got to go back for a minute to the accusing of the brethren. Be careful what you listen to. In the last 2 weeks, I've been listening when we're driving to a Christian radio station. And I could not believe the accusations that come across that station to the body of Christ. What a waste of time. Let's preach the good news. Let's leave the judging up to God. All we are responsible for is our life speaking what the Word of God says. I get angry when I hear ministers talk about cancer is God's plan for our life. Accidents is God's plan for our lives. It's a lie from the pit of hell. They're out here. But God is faithful, and He has promised. Do I understand everything? No. I have watched, when my husband died, he believed strong in healing. But you know what? I still didn't question it. Once they're dead, I don't analyze it. They're in the presence of God. Hallelujah. But I'm here and I'm going to live my God life for God. And I am going to proclaim that Jesus is good and He wants good things in our life. So the blood of Jesus speaks all the time. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And I'm not done. Just in case you thought it was. Thank God that was too. Jesus bled 7 ways. He bled from His sweat glands in the garden, from His head when they put on the crown of thorns on His head. He bled from His face when they pulled out His beard. He bled from His back when He was whipped. He bled from His hands when they nailed Him to the cross. And He bled from His feet when they nailed them. And He bled from His heart when they pierced Him. His blood was shed for you. It was not a free thing. It was paid with a high price. Let us speak words that are lifting Jesus up instead of lifting Him down, putting Him down. Lift Him up with the words, with the confession of your mouth. That's what God's life and Jesus, that was God's life that was poured out for each and every one of you. Jesus miraculously took that up to heaven, and through that shed blood, we received redemption, sanctification, access and boldness, justification, peace. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. And we can receive healing. Praise God. He took care of every area of our life. So we can rejoice with Him. Now the music team will come up. We will sing. And then we'll close in prayer. If anyone needs prayer at all. And I think it was a very good way that Pastor Ralph explained that last week. The Bible says we are to call for the elders of the church. And so it takes a step for you. The third room on the left, when you leave here, is the prayer room. And people will be there to pray for you. They will lay hands on you. We have seen the miraculous happening there. If you need prayer, if you need to accept Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then come in there. We'll lead you to the Lord. We'll introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. who loves you and gave himself for you. And if you need healing, if you need any area of your life you need prayer for, please avail yourself of that time of prayer.
And that's where